and place it, and you pass it down to the end of the aisle, and we will pick them up after service. Well, it's good to be here today. Amen. And, you know, as Tim said, you know, we want to give a special blessing and call out to Sister Lee. For those of you who don't know that her daughter, Eliza, passed away last Wednesday. And we're going to miss Eliza, but she's always going to be in our hearts. She's always going to be in our mind. She's always going to be, because she used to sit about right around here. And Liza was somebody that you won't forget. You know, I'm so thankful that she used to come up and sing her specials. I remember the last special that she was going to sing, that it was time for her to go sing the special, and I saw her walking in the back there. And I looked at her and I said, "Liza, it's time to sing." She said, "I know, but I got to go." You know, that's one thing I loved about Liza. She was real. She was genuine. And she would say what's on her mind. She would say what's on her mind. I love that, you know. But we know that we know that we know that Liza is with Jesus. And we're going to have her celebration of life here at the church here next Sunday. Next Sunday at 1 o'clock, we'll be having her celebration of life. And then afterwards, we're going to go downstairs and have some refreshments, you know, in fellowship with one another. So just make a note, next Sunday after church, 1 o'clock, we're going to be having a service right here, a celebration of life service right here. And I expect to see all of you here, you know, because she's family. All right, Sunday school. Kids, Sunday school. All right. Praise the Lord. Jeremy, go have a good time. Amen. You know, I love these kids when they jump up to run to go to Sunday school. I love that. You know, we need to teach our children that. We're going to enter into the throne of grace with prayer today as you take a posture of reverence with us. Father, we come before you today giving you honor, glory, and praise. We want to say thank you, Lord, for being God and God alone. Thank you for waking us up another day. Not only did you wake us up another day, you woke us up in our right mind, as you did the prodigal when he came to himself, oh Father God, and turned back to you. Lord, each and every day that we wake up, oh Father God, let us run to you each and every day, because you are our source of everything. Lord, you said in the Psalms, if the Lord is our shepherd, we shall not want anything. So Lord, we just turn to you today to give you all the honor, glory, and praise. I pray for those, Father God, who are grieving over the death and loss of loved ones and possessions and property. We ask that you would comfort them. We pray for our children, Lord. Lord, we commit our children unto you, O Father God, that they will serve you all the days of their lives. We pray for the unborn today, Lord. We pray for those, Father God, whose mothers, O Father, are planning on terminate their children, Lord. I pray that you move upon their hearts that they will not murder their children. Lord, let us stand in the gap for them. Lord, we started our 40 days of life, O Father, a few days ago. I just pray that you move upon the hearts of those to go over there and stand in front of that butcher shop on Stone Street, oh Father God, and pray. Lord, we pray, Father God, for our soldiers. We honor our soldiers. We pray for our policemen, our firemen, our first responders, our medical workers, oh Father God. Just be with each and every one of them. Lord, we pray for those who are sick this morning, Lord, Elder Paul and others, oh Lord Jesus, that's going through it. We ask, Father God, for a healing. For each and every one of us, oh Father. Lord, we pray traveling mercy for those who are traveling today. We just ask that you have your way here today with us, oh Father God. Let nobody walk out of here without, Father God, a rhema word, A rhema word, oh Father God, that will transform our lives. A rhema word that will convict us is necessary. A word, oh Father God, that we can take, oh Father, and proclaim Jesus Christ to the world and not be ashamed of the gospel. So, Lord, I just ask that you have your way today. Get me out of the way, Lord Jesus, and everything that come out of me, let it be of you. Everything that's in me that is not of you, Lord, take it out of me by any means necessary. And put in me everything that I need to be in me, oh Father God, to be pleasing, oh Lord, you in your sight. So just have your way today, Lord, in Jesus' holy name, amen. If you turn your Bibles to the book of Acts, Acts 27. Do what now? No teachers for the kids? Really? Huh? Okay, okay. Thank you. All right. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And while you're turning to Acts 27, I want to go to Jeremiah 29:11. That's one of my favorites. And I'm sure we all know what that is, most of you. And if you don't, we're going to read it. And I'm going to read it to you. Jeremiah 29:11 said, "For I know," and that's God talking, "for I know the thoughts that I think towards you." Do you know that God is thinking about you all the time? All the time God is thinking about us. And it says, and says the Lord, "thoughts of peace and not of evil." He wants us to live in peace, not as the world lives. That peace that surpasses all understanding. In the midst of whatever it might be. He said, "the thoughts that I have for you," he says, "thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you an expected end." To give you an expected end. That means you're going to give you a good end. You know what I mean? Through our lives. "Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search me with all of your heart." Not part of it, with all of your heart. And that's something that we all need to do better in, is seeking God with all of our hearts. You know, a lot of times, you know, we seek the Lord when we have a want, when we have a need, or whatever. But we need to seek him all the time. Because there's so many benefits for that. So many. Now, I'd said go to Acts 27, right? Acts 27, I'm going to start in, well, let me give you a little what's going on. This is Apostle Paul. And God told him in Acts 23:11, he says, "And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, Be of good cheer, Paul. For as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, you must bear witness with me also in Rome." They were trying to kill Paul. They wanted to kill Paul, but God said, "I have a plan for you. I have something for you to do, Paul, because I have called you out of darkness on that road to Damascus. You was on your way to persecute Christians, but I brought you to the light." And he says, "What I want you to do is I want you to go to Rome and to talk with Caesar." You see, they were trying to kill Paul, but Paul, as they got a hold of him, he says, "Wait a minute, I'm a Roman citizen. I'm not just a prisoner or somebody that y'all have gathered up," because they had gathered up a lot of prisoners to take to Rome, to be in the Colosseum, to be gladiators, to have the wild animals kill them. But Paul says, "Wait a minute, I'm a citizen of Rome." And so they backed up off of him. They said, "Well, if you're a citizen of Rome, you're going to have to go deal, Caesar's going to have to deal with you." So this is where we start. So anyway, they had to be up on a ship. He was still in control of the Roman soldiers. One by the name of Julius. And it says that they were gotten to the ship and they were headed out. And Paul says, "Wait a minute. I don't think we need to go yet. Because there's going to be some terrible weather going on." But they didn't listen to Paul. And the soldiers... No, hold up. Hold, let me get where I'm going here. Acts 27:10. Let me start in verse 10. And he said unto him, Sir, I perceive thee, the voyagers will be with hurt and much damage, not only in the landing of a ship, but also for our lives. He told them, he said, if we continue to do what you want to do, the ship is in peril, and not only the ship, but our lives also. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master of the owner of the ship more than the things that were spoken by Paul. Once again, Paul was a prisoner, but they didn't know what type of prisoner they had. They had a prisoner of the Lord. You see, Paul knew something that none of the rest of them knew. How did he know it? Because God told him, you must go to Rome. But he gave him also insight that if we go now, we could be in trouble. But the centurion, he listened to the captain of the boat, and they took off. So then it says, and because of the haven, which was commodious to water in, and most parts advised to depart from also, and if by any means they might obtain a penance, and it, there in the winter, which was in haven of Crete, and lieth toward the southwest and toward the east. So they took off. And it was good weather when they took off. But all of a sudden, as they were sailing, as they were going, a wind came up. A storm came up. And so when the storm came up, Paul told them that the Lord has told me that if you would do what God has told me to do, not one person will perish. Not one will perish. Then it says, but after, I'm going to go down to verse 21, but then after a long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sir, you should have hearkened unto me. He said, didn't I tell you? Have we ever said something to somebody and it came to pass and you say, didn't I tell you? Didn't I tell you not to do that? So that's basically what Paul was saying. And it says that, Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and have not loosed from Crete and have gained this harm and loss. But now I exalt you to be of good cheer. How I exalt you to be of good cheer. What do you mean of good cheer? We're in a storm. Our life is on the line. How are we going to be of good cheer? Let me tell you how I'm going to be of good cheer. Because if Jesus is with us, we're going to be of good cheer. Remember when he told his disciples to go to the other side? And as they got in the middle, the storm came. And Jesus walked on the water and Peter said, if that's you, Lord, bid me to come. Peter jumped out the boat and walked to him. And as long as he was looking at him, he was safe. He was walking on his storm. But when he took his eyes off Jesus and put it on the storm, what happened? He sank. The same thing happens to us today. You know, if you miss an adult Sunday school, you're really missing a blessing. You know, they were talking about the church today that had fallen asleep. The church back in the New Testament had fallen asleep. And let's guess what? The church today have fallen asleep too. And let me tell you why that is. Because there's so many things out here that will get our attention. The media, the news, alcohol, drugs, pornography, whatever it might be. Covetousness. Whatever it might be, we have fallen asleep. We need to wake up, church. We need to wake up and know that Jesus can come back at any time. We need to wake up and be alert and watch and be sober because Jesus can come back at any time. Are we ready? That's the key to it. Because he says, I'm coming back to get a church without spot and wrinkles. We got a lot of spots and a lot of wrinkles. And I'm talking about the universal church. I'm not talking about, you know, just us. But us too. Because we're in the body of Christ. We can do better. Then it says that I exalt you to be of good cheer, and there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of God, who I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God has given thee all them that shall sail with thee. Therefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe in God that it shall be as it was told me. God said it, and I believe it. God said it, and I believe it. In the midst of this storm, in the midst of this chaos that we're going through, the angel of the Lord told me, not one of you will lose your life if you will obey the voice of the Lord. Now, once again, these are pagans. These are pagans. You know, and you know that old saying, cuss like a sailor? So these are pagan sailors. Howbeit, we must be cast upon the certain island. But when the 14th night had come, as we were driven up and down into a diarium, about midnight, the shipmen deemed that they should draw near to the country and sounded and found it 24 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. They said, now, we're in the storm, but we believe that land is right over here. But once again, they can't see the land, but they're estimating that the land is down here. When they got to the point where they thought the land was, it was further down. So how do you think that made them feel? They thought that the land was going to be there, that was going to be safe. But they got to the place that they thought it was going to be, and it wasn't there. So they got scared again. And then it says, verse 29, then fearing lest we should have fallen upon the rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. What they did was they took the anchors and they dropped them down so the ship would be steady, so it would not, the wind and the waves would not crash them against the rocks. So they let down the four anchors. Paul said to the centurions, I'm sorry. Yeah, Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, except you abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. That's what I want to talk to you today about. Except you abide in the ship, you shall not be saved. Let's talk about another ship in the Old Testament. A ship that God told one man, I want you to build this ship. Took him 120 years. He preached every day. Repent and be saved. Repent and be saved. They laughed at him. They scorned at him. And everything else. But he continued to do what God didn't make sense. Back then it had never rained. Never rained. They didn't know nothing about rain. But God told him, I want you to build this ship. And he said, God and Noah was found righteous in God's eyes for obeying him. Didn't understand it. Hard work for 120 years. But once the ship was completed, once he did what God called him to do, and he was prepared for that, he brought the animals into the ship, and he brought his family into the ship. Nobody else got into the ship because they didn't believe this man. And we all know what happened. 40 days of rain. All people were killed because they were not in the ship. You see, when the rain came and it came to the ankles, they danced and played in the rain. Oh, this is nice. When it got up to the knees, they say, oh, this is, you know, we can splash in the water. But when they got up to the waist and got up to the chest, they went and they start beating on the door of the ship. Let us in, let us in, let us in. But God has shut the door. And it said, if God shut the door, nobody can open the door but him. Gave him a chance. 120 years gave him a chance of hearing a sermon every day. Repent. Repent and be saved. But they laughed at him. They scorned at him. The same way people laugh and scorn at us when we talk to them about being saved. So he says, stay in the ship. Except you abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. And the soldiers cut the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. The soldiers cut the ropes of the ship and let it fall off. What happened was they had some of the crew, and they told them to let down the anchors. So they said, well, what we need to do is get a little further down on the boat. Let us take these life rafts. Let us go down into the life rafts so we can get the anchors down there. So what they were saying was, we got a plan B. We have a plan B. I hear what this man is talking about, but I don't believe him. You know, I'm a sailor. I've been sailing for years. I know these storms. I know that we're about ready to perish. So guess what? I'm going to get in this lifeboat. He didn't listen to the man of God, what God had told him. He said, except you abide in this ship, you shall not be saved. So you had some that wanted to cut the rope and get into the lifeboat so they could rescue themselves. Self-sufficiency. They wanted to do it themselves. And it says, and while the day was coming, Paul besought them to take the meat, saying that this day is the 14th day that you shall have tarried and continue fasting, having taken nothing. Therefore, I pray thee, take some meat from this and for your health, and there shall not a hair fall from the head of any of you. Not one hair fall from any of you if you obey the word of the Lord. It's all about obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice, church. You know, we like to sacrifice things. We like to do things for God, but obedience is better than sacrifice. And that's where we need to do better in our obedience. Notice I said we. We need to do better. Then it says, and thus when he had spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. He gave thanks to God in the presence of all the heathens. What he was doing was, he was showing them about his faith. He wasn't just talking to them about it. He was showing them. And guess what? They started listening to him. They started listening. At first they dismissed him. Didn't believe it. Don't go out here on this ship because something might happen. Oh, the captain said, I've been sailing for years. Ain't nothing going to happen. The storm came. So they started listening to Paul a little bit more. And a little bit more. They hadn't eaten in 14 days. Paul took the bread, he says, and he broke it, and he gave thanks unto the Lord. And they all listened to him. Then it says, and when it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek with a shore into which they were minded, if it were possible to thrust in the ship. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves unto the sea and loosened the rubber bands and hoisted up the mainsail to the wind and made toward the shore. And falling into the place where the two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable, and the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest that any of them should swim out and escape. So the centurion soldiers said, we're going to kill all these prisoners because if they escape, we are going to be killed. So let's kill all of them. We ain't got to worry about it. But the centurion, Julius, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they should cast himself first into the sea and get to the land, and the rest some on the boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to the land. They all, not one hair on their head. In the midst of the storm, let me say something to you. And I tell you this all the time, three people in this house. Those who are in a storm and a trial, those who have come out of a storm and a trial, those who are about to come into a storm and go to trial. Let me tell you something. And a lot of times when we're in them storms, we're like, Lord, why is this happening? What's going on? And we blame the devil. We blame everybody else. But let me tell you something. Paul was in the middle of the will of God in that storm. He was in the middle of the will of God. Next time you're in a storm, say, Lord, I don't like this. Don't look good. Not my will, but thy will be done. And I'm going to stay in the ship. I'm not going to get out. I'm not going to have a plan B. There is no plan B in Christianity. There's only one, and his name is Jesus. Jesus Christ, period. Not Jesus Christ, comma, not Jesus Christ, plus somebody else. We need to stay in the ship. The world wants us to get out of the ship. The world has brought the world into the church now, and a lot of the church is getting out of the ship. If you got a plan B, cut that lifeboat. Cut the plan B and let it go and stay in the ship, church. Because God says if you stay in the ship, you shall be saved. Is it going to be easy? Absolutely not. You think it was easy for them to be on this ship with all that stuff going on? And then what they had to do, they had to get rid of all of their cargo, everything that they had was going to take over to Rome or whatever, they had to get rid of it. Oh, well, wait a minute, Pastor. Now you're talking about getting rid of stuff now. Because if they didn't get rid of the stuff on the boat, it would have sank before this here. There's things in our lives that we need to throw overboard. There might be people in our lives that we need. That's right. That we need to throw overboard. If whatever or whoever is causing you and telling you, let's get off the boat. Why are you going to that church? Why are you giving your money to that church? Why are you studying the Bible? Why are you praying and going to prayer meeting? Come on, let's party. Let's go have a drink. Let's go do this, go do that. You need to cut the tie. You need to cut the tie. And I don't care who it is. As I told y'all many, many times, I have relatives back home that I had to cut the tie because they're still living in an old lifestyle that I used to live in with them. But I'm no longer in darkness. I'm no longer doing those things that are not pleasing to God. I'm not perfect. I have issues and struggles like everybody else. And I tell you all the time, I'm not where I should be, not where I'm going to be, but I'm nowhere where I used to be either. I'm pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And you have to do that too. Pressing. These men were pressing in the storms, in that boat. But as long as they stayed in the boat, I woke somebody up, didn't I? Mm-hmm. Yeah. As long as you stay in the boat, the word of God said, you shall be saved. As long as we do what God has told us to do, we shall be saved. The Bible says there's many in the last days that are going to be a great falling away. A greater apostasy. A great apostasy means they have walked away. They have gotten into the lifeboats of life. And have continued to live in the rivers and the streams of the world instead of staying in the boat. Once again, back in Noah's days, they didn't listen to Noah. But after they started seeing what Noah had been telling them, now they wanted to listen. But it was too late. It was too late. It's not too late for us today. Church. That's why I continue to preach and preach and preach. Repent. Repent. Do the right thing. Live for Jesus. Let's do better. Notice I said we. Let's do better each and every day. We all got room to do better. I don't care how much Bible you know, how much coming to church you do, how much whatever you might do for the Lord, we can always do better. And it says, not one of them perished. Because the Apostle Paul was on this ship with all these heathens. And he was not ashamed to tell them what the Lord had told them, what it told him to do. And we cannot be ashamed. We cannot be ashamed. Now, we're going to be having a testimony Sunday, the 15th. On the 15th. And I can't tell you how many people in here right now, y'all getting all tight right now. Oh, you know, I can't speak in front of people. I don't want to tell people this, that, and other. Let me tell you something. If God has brought you through something, if God has healed you, has blessed you, has done something for you, you need to tell it. You need to tell it. Because God blesses us to be a blessing. Do you know that? God blesses us to be a blessing. He don't bless us to keep it in us. We need to pour it out. Rivers of living water. We need to pour out what God has done for us. And let people know what God has done for us. Because somebody in here might be going through the same thing that you have come out of. And they don't have the hope. They don't have no hope. They say there's no light at the end of the tunnel. You can say, oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. If God has blessed you like that, he's no respecter of persons. He'll do the same for me too. So thank you, brother, for speaking that. Thank you, sister, for telling that. And not being ashamed. And keep sitting up here week after week after week and won't say nothing. Don't say nothing. Mm-hmm. So on the 15th, you got plenty of time now. And I'm not saying you got to come up here and preach. But I'm saying, come and you don't have to come up here if you don't want to. We'll bring the microphone to you. So you can tell what God has done for you. Amen? We need to be obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ, what he's called us to do, church. The Apostle Paul, once again, he was one of the worst men that ever lived. He's worse than Hitler. And so many others. He persecuted tens of thousands of thousands of thousands of Christians. Thought he was doing the right thing. Until Jesus got a hold of him. Oh! Until Jesus got a hold of him. And he says, oh Lord. He says, who are you, Lord? He says, I'm Jesus, the one you're persecuting. Woo! And from that time on, when Jesus introduced himself to Paul, you see, he knocked him off his horse and blinded him. Now, I don't know how Jesus met you, but you need to tell it. You need to tell it what Jesus has done in your life. Just like all those who are in this word here, they were not ashamed of the gospel. Miranda, I'm glad to see you, girl. Mm-hmm. I saw you when you came in. You came in late, but you came in. Praise the Lord. You and your new husband. Praise the Lord. I'm glad to see you. But anyway, I just want to say to each and every one of you, stay in the ship. Cut that lifeboat. Because there's only life in Jesus Christ. Period. That's the only life that we need to have. We had a life other than Jesus Christ before we got saved. But once we got saved, and Jesus says, if you lift me up, I'll draw all men unto you. If you lift me up and tell the people what I've done for you in your life, I'll draw all people unto you. Just like that young man right there came in last week. You know, destitute. But when I gave the invitation, he was one of the first ones that came up. And look at him today. He has a home today. He was serving the Lord today. Just been saved 1 week. But serving the Lord. And let me tell you, it's just the beginning, young man. Get ready, get ready, get ready. Get ready. Because God has plans for you of good and not of evil. He has an expected end for you, young man. Not only you, for all the rest of us also. You know, it might be somebody that comes in here just like the shape that he was in last week. And you need to get up here and say, last week I was homeless. Didn't have nothing to eat. But I was blessed. And now I'm back to tell you what Jesus had done for me. Oh, oh. Remember Legion? That had all them demons, 10,000 demons in him. And Jesus cast them demons out. And Legion said, he said, I want to follow you. He said, no, no, no. You go home and tell your people what I've done for you. Go home and testify. Go home and have a testimony meeting at your church. to tell the people what I've done for you. I know that they probably thought that something's wrong or happened to you because they knew you how you was before I got a hold of you, Legion. But you're no legions no more. You're clean. You're clean. So I want you to go home and tell the people what I've done for you. And that's what we're going to be doing on the 15th. Amen. If anybody's here this morning, and by the way, it was 276 people on that boat. 276 people on that boat. And 276 people had their lives saved. Because God told Apostle Paul to tell the people to stay up on the boat. At first, they didn't want to listen to him. But you know what made them listen? Because Paul stood strong on his conviction. He didn't compromise. He didn't say, well, you know, Captain, you've been captain and you know these seas and you know this boat and everything else. You know better than me. He don't know better than Jesus. I don't care how long you've been doing this or how long you've been doing that and anything else. You don't know no better than Jesus. When Jesus tell you to do something, we need to do it. And we need to do it right now. Because if we don't do it right now, we'll reason ourselves out of it and make excuses. My pastor told me excuses were the skin of a reason stuffed with a lie. The skin of a reason stuffed with a lie. That's what my pastor Larkins used to tell me all the time. So we don't need no excuses. We don't need no excuses. And we had a testimony service here several years ago. And it was the most powerful service that we've ever had at this church. I had people come up to me and said, for the first time that they had come there, they said, we had never seen anything like that. We come to hear some preaching and teaching. But it was the best service that we've ever been at. And that's because people came forth and shared their testimony. Once again, we're not asking you to come and preach or teach. Just come and tell what God has done for you. Because he's done something for each and every one of us, haven't he? Every one of us, God has done something for us. If there's anybody here today that is thinking about getting into that lifeboat and not staying in the ship, you're teetering on the edge. Remember I told you a story about the little boy that kept falling out of bed? Kept falling out of bed. And his dad stood at the door and watched him to see why he was falling out of bed. And he fell out of bed again. And his daddy came in and said, the reason you're falling out of bed because you're right on the edge. You're right on the edge. If you get in the middle of the bed, you ain't got to worry about falling out. If you get in the middle of Jesus, you ain't got to worry about falling out. We need to stay right in the middle of Jesus each and every day that we can. If there's anybody here today that's on the edge, and you know what puts us on the edge? Losing a loved one. Not getting what we have been asking God to do. Well, I've been praying and praying and praying, and it didn't happen. I've been asking and asking and asking, and I haven't been receiving. So is he really real? Legitimate question, isn't it? I'm here to tell you today he is real. I'm here to tell you today he is real. And how I know that is what he has done in my life. When I think about his goodness and what he's done for me, I can do a Holy Ghost dance. I can shout and sing, and you need to be doing the same thing too. We shout and everything at the ball games, don't we? And all this other stuff. Why are we so timid about telling people what Jesus has done for us? Once again, if there's anybody on the edge, come and get in the middle. Get off the edge. You know, so many, I've known so many people from years and years and years. They be white hot for serving the Lord. And then little by little by little, you see them getting closer and closer and closer to the edge till we don't see them no more. They have fallen off the edge. There's many that has been in this church here that has been praising the Lord, worshiping with us, fellowshipping with us, but we don't see them anymore. Falling off the edge. So if that's you this morning and you're on the edge, I'm going to ask you to come and get in the middle. Come and get in the middle and say, Lord, I know my life has not been what it should be in you. Don't be ashamed, because we all have been on the edge at one time or another. Amen. We've all been on the edge. We've all been and done things that we know that we shouldn't have done. But we did them anyway.